The room was empty. I nudged the door shut as Darius flicked his fingers, casting a film of ice over the cameras, covering us from view.
You've got as long as you want. I've paid off everyone who might cause us an issue today.
I told you, I only need 5 minutes, maybe not even that. Darius stepped toward me, dissolving the magic concealing me as Dante Oscura, and taking my hand. He squeezed once, giving me an apologetic frown.
Sorry, Shrew.
He stepped past me, moving back out the door and slamming it shut in my face, ice growing over the handle as I lunged at it and tried to open it. I used my fire magic to try and melt it, but the asshole somehow kept it locked. Darius! Ugh! Bastard! I felt him enter the room before I even turned around. The hairs stood up on the back of my neck, and a shiver raced down my spine that made me squeeze my eyes shut. How can he still affect me this way? After all this time, is it always going to be this hard? Fey up, Darcy Vega. Get it over with. I took a breath, fixed an emotionless mask into place, and turned around. Orion stood there in his orange jumpsuit, the sleeves rolled back to show his thick forearms and a layer of new muscle that seemed to cling to him all over. I dragged my eyes up to his face as my pulse pounded wildly and found a thick beard on his jaw, his mouth flat, his hair getting overly long. I expected to see a wall in his eyes, forcing me out like the last time I'd seen him, but it wasn't there. He looked broken as he'd been back then, only this time, all the sharp pieces in his eyes had settled. He'd accepted his fate, as I'd accepted mine. His gaze traveled over me with slow and hungry movements, like he was trying to make an eternity out of seeing me.
Hello.
Hi. I wet my lips and took a step closer. Darius locked me in here, so.
Asshole?
Yep. My heart thundered out a wild and yearning tune as it begged me to get nearer to him, to feel the heat of his body meeting mine in the air, to smell his familiar smell and brush my fingers over the lines of his face, seek out the single dimple hiding in his right cheek. But I'd be doing none of those things. Not now. Not ever. When I was close enough, I stopped moving, trying to ignore the way every fiber of my flesh seemed to pulse with energy, driving me toward him.
I don't know how to break the promise, so if you could just show me how.
He reached out and took my hand, his rough palm meeting mine and gripping it tightly. A small involuntary gasp escaped me as a light but potent energy rushed through me from his touch. It was addictive, demanding, and horribly familiar. His jaw ticked furiously before he tugged me closer, so I was right in his personal space, forced to look up at him. My breath caught in my throat. Lance, what was I even warning him of? I just needed it to stop, all of it. I couldn't believe after all this time I still felt like this, like the world began and ended with him and I would never belong to any other man. But that's not real anymore. He's not mine. And I'm not his.
Fuck.
He clamped his eyes shut for a moment before looking at me again with a tight expression.
How are you?
I yanked my hand free of his, anger curling up through my body like flames.
How am I? That's what you have to say?
His jaw tightened and he said nothing. Nothing. I wasn't going to demand an explanation from him again. He'd had his chance the last time I'd come here, but he'd frozen me out and told me to go. That it was over, and I needed to move on. So I had. Every part of me was hot, and I snatched his hand again, fire blazing against my palm as I fought not to scold him.
How do I break it?
Just say the words. Recite the promise, and tell the stars you release me from it.
I nodded, keeping my eyes on his as I refused to look away. I thought back on that day we'd made the promise, and how, no matter what we'd faced back then, we'd known we'd always have each other. Somehow I'd fooled myself into believing that. I'd really thought we had a future. I would have fought the stars themselves to keep him. I guessed the sentiment had never been shared.
I promised to fight for you whatever it took, and you promised it in return.
I saw a flicker of regret in his eyes. He probably had a hell of a lot of regrets when it came to me.
I release you from that bond.
I wouldn't break or cry or let him see a single crack in my facade. I was stronger now. And no man, not even him, would be able to hurt me again. Magic crackled between us, and the feeling of something snapping against our palms rang through my body before I felt the promise lift from my heart. There was something so final about it. Our worlds cleaving apart fully, like an axe severing the final ties between us. My hand lingered in his for 2 more seconds before I pulled it free. Done.
Thank you.
I nodded stiffly. It felt like 1,000 words hung between us in the air. But as I backed away, the window of opportunity to say them closed forever. And as I reached the opposite side of the room, it might as well have been a whole universe parting us. His and mine. Planes we could only exist on separately. I twisted the door handle behind me, but it didn't budge, and Orion surveyed me with a tight frown. Damn it, Darius.
I'll go.
But he paused, glancing back at me, his penetrating gaze drilling a hole in my heart.
You look like a queen, Darcy. I'm looking forward to the coronation.
And with that, he left, making the air rush out of me and anger surge up inside me like a tidal wave. I twisted around, casting burning hot air into the lock and finally managing to break it open, stepping out into the corridor where Darius was leaning against the wall with his arms folded. I strode up to him, slapped him hard, then hugged him firmly because, damn it, I needed him right now. You had no right. He held me close, and the feel of him casting the identity illusion tumbled over my flesh.
I know, but you haven't given up on me and Roxy. So I have the same sentiment when it comes to you and my best friend.
I pulled away from him with a sad look. The difference is, you two actually want each other.
That's not a difference, Shrew.
Don't call me Shrew, ass crux.
I rolled my eyes, but my stomach knotted because inside I knew all I wanted was Orion. But I would never admit it out loud. I'd smother that feeling, push it down until it went away one day. Because if the stars had taught me anything, it was that we didn't belong with one another, no matter how much it had felt that way once. And I'm done breaking for Lance Orion.
I sat in Arcane Arts at the end of my table, trying to predict the future with the roll of the dice Gabriel had given me and finding it unclear time and again. Frustration built in me as I continued to struggle with the task, and the shadows writhed beneath my skin, feeding on my anger and looking for an outlet for it.
Tori, I want a word with you at the end of class.
Gabriel. I looked up to find him standing over me, eyeing my notes with a disapproving frown. Why? Why was he suddenly taking an interest in me?
The problem with your predictions is that you need to really connect with your emotions to get a read on your future. And all the time you're letting things get in the way of your true feelings.
I don't know what you mean. The air shield around me trembled at the touch of his magic against it, and I stood abruptly as I tightened my hold on the shield I always kept in place.
Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you.
He stepped back as I narrowed my eyes on him. The shadows twisted and swirled within me, but I didn't give in to them. Something in my gut urged me not to hurt him, and though I wasn't sure why, as he backed away, I found I was glad I didn't have to do any more to defend myself. I'm not afraid of you. I lowered myself back into my chair and Darcy caught my gaze from the far side of the room. I didn't turn away, holding her eye with an expressionless look that seemed to be making her angry, and her brow furrowed as she stared at me, her eyes watering as her fists tightened on the table in front of her. As the bell rang to mark the end of class, she leapt up and strode from the room, nodding at Gabriel as she went and disappearing before anyone else had even managed to pack their things away. I bit my lip as I considered whether or not I should call my king, running my fingers back and forth over the guardian bond mark on my forearm as I considered it. It had been 3 days since I'd seen him, and though I knew he was busy with the changes he had to make in the kingdom, I was certain he had to be missing me too, or at least I hoped he was, because without him, I didn't have anything. But he'd also told me to stop calling so frequently, and I didn't want to make him angry. Ugh. I packed my stuff into my bag, then turned to leave. Before I could make it more than a few steps, Gabriel moved to block my path.
I still need that word.
He leveled me with a look that said he wasn't going to leave this issue. I shrugged and moved back towards my chair, but he shook his head, pushing his black hair away from his eyes.
Why don't we walk and talk?
For some reason, I liked the sound of spending more time in his company. There was just something about him that made me feel safe.
I think a bit of fresh air could do us both good.
Technically, I shouldn't have been mixing with a harpy, But as there were allowances made for teachers, and I was above the rules anyway, I decided not to make an issue of it. Fine. I didn't care much either way. I just wanted this day over. On Friday, I could return to my king, and in the meantime, I just needed to study and sleep to make the time disappear. But the more time that passed, the more I ached to return to him, and the harder it was to ignore the itch in my bond mark. I'd do it, though, for him, like I promised. Gabriel led the way out of the building, and I trailed along after him, tightening my hold on my ear shield as we stepped out into the cool air. Lionel had warned me that Darcy might try and attack me at any moment, especially when I was alone, so I had to be on the lookout at all times. For some reason, I didn't really think she would, but I'd do as my king told me all the same.
Do you mind if I get my wings out?
Gabriel unhooked the buttons on his gray shirt without waiting for my response, so I didn't bother giving one. He'd clearly decided he was getting them out either way. As he removed his shirt, my gaze caught on a tattoo above his right hip of two phoenixes flying together. My brow furrowed as a memory was tugged to the forefront of my mind.
Bad choice, Tor. Harpies are much faster than phoenixes.
Only a little. Besides, I don't have to worry about that wind.
What wind? Oh, shit!
Before being swept away again on a tide of shadows, Gabriel rolled his shoulders back and a huge pair of midnight black wings burst from his back as he shifted, and I watched a little curiously as he flexed them behind him.
I haven't seen you shift since you came back to the academy this term.
He led me up the path into the Wailing Wood.
Perhaps we could go flying together soon?
I don't enjoy flying. I said it automatically, unsure where the words had even come from. But as I opened my mouth to counter that comment, I don't... A ripple of pain washes through my chest.
You hate flying.
I hate flying.
It hurts you.
It hurts me.
Your wings hurt you, and you don't ever want to use them again.
My wings hurt me, and I don't ever want to use them again.
What's wrong?
Gabriel reaches for my arm, but finds my shield still in place, which stopped him from laying his hands on me. I didn't want him touching me. I knew that very clearly, and I cut him a glare as I stepped aside, placing more magic into my shield in case he tried again. Nothing.
You looked like you were in pain.
You have very little understanding of true pain, then. I had a lot of understanding of that.
I know a fair bit. I've been through more than a few battles in my time, and I took a bolt of storm dragon lightning to the chest once, too.
I fell still as he said that, my fists clenching at the memories of being struck by that very thing.
This is the full power of storm dragon.
A voice in my ear, whispering.
Whose fault is it that you have to feel this pain?
Darius. I almost forgot Gabriel was there as the memories of being struck with all that electricity over and over again overwhelmed me for a moment, and I was forced to seek solace in the shadows. That had happened to me because of Darius, and I needed to keep the hell away from him unless I wanted it to happen again. I glanced over my shoulder like he might be lurking in the dark, just waiting to pounce, and my pulse raced as I drew even more shadows to the surface of my skin. And the fear began to subside. The pleasure of their power took its place.
What about Darius?
I just shook my head. I wasn't supposed to talk to him about that. Not him, not anyone. Only my king and Vard and Clara. I wouldn't be coaxed into saying anything to anyone else. He's the worst kind of poison. The kind you don't realize is killing you until you've already taken too much.
Darius isn't poison, Tori.
Gabriel came to a halt at a turn in the path where the trees surrounding us were so thick that I could barely see between them. He is to me. That was all I was going to say on the subject. Gabriel opened his mouth to respond, but before he could, a blast of power slammed into the back of my air shield. I barely managed to hold it in place. I whirled around, drawing more air into the shield as Seth burst from the trees, his face set in determination as he cast more air at me, and I had to fight to make sure he didn't break through my shield. I gritted my teeth in determination, just as another attack hit the shield at my back, and I looked around to find Darius directing water at me, his brow furrowed as he worked to break through my defenses. My heart began to race at the sight of him coming for me, just the way he did in my nightmares. His face set in a cruel mask, and his body written with determination.
Stop!
Raising my hands to either side of me, I pushed more power into my air shield. The ground beneath my feet began to tremble as Caleb shot out of the trees and attacked me too.
Tori!
Darcy stepped onto the path, and heat flared along my limbs as I spotted my twin taking part in this ambush as well. They were all against me, just like my king had told me they were. They were going to hurt me and take me away from him and steal everything I cared about in this world if they got the chance.
We aren't trying to hurt you! We just want to help you regain control of your phoenix. We need you to free yourself from the shadows and—
What if I don't want to be free of them?
I gritted my teeth as the combined pressure of so much magic almost buckled my shield. My king needed me to wield the shadows with him. I wasn't going to let them go against his wishes. I wasn't going to disappoint him like that. It was unthinkable.
Her shield is about to crack!
Gabriel announced as he added his own water magic to the assault, and Max and Geraldine emerged from the trees to help too.
I'm ready!
Caleb called, and I spotted a syringe held in his hand, which sent fear slicing into me. I couldn't let him get close to me with that thing. I'd die before he did.
Die! Oh, never die!
My heart was pounding, and the shadows were whispering promises of death in my ears as they begged me to use them. The shadows were always so hungry for blood that they would make me sloppy if I gave them too much freedom. I needed to control them rather than allowing them to control me. But I was burning through my power resources, and any moment now, they were going to break them down.
Go carefully. If any one of you hurts her, I will personally beat the shit out of you for it.
We are going careful.
Seth increased the pressure of his attack, and I felt my shield cracking. I sucked in a sharp breath and dropped my shield half a beat before it would have broken anyway. Then I yelled out as shadows burst from my body in an explosion of darkness that blotted out the world. They slammed into the entire group who had surrounded me, hurling them off of their feet and into the trees in every direction, and the sound of their screams made me smile savagely as their pain fed my darkness. I took off running the moment the path was clear, throwing up a huge wall of shadows at my back as I reconstructed my air shield with what little power remained to me, and cast a ball of fire to replenish what I'd lost. Seth was howling in agony in the trees behind me, and their shouts and curses chased me away as I kept running and running, not stopping until I made it back to Ignis' house and into my room. I pressed my back to the door as my chest heaved and the shadows writhed beneath my skin, making me moan with pleasure in payment for the pain I'd fed them. But as my rampant heartbeat finally calmed, I forced myself to push them back so that I could think a little more clearly. Just enough to remember the orders I'd been given before returning to this place. I knew what I had to do, what I'd promised I'd do if I was ever foolish enough to let them get close to me. But as I pulled the glass jar from the bag beneath my bed, my hand began to tremble with fear. I placed it down in front of me before unknotting my tie with shaking fingers and slipping out my shirt and blazer next. I sat cross-legged on the floor in my bra and school skirt, eyeing the crackling electricity contained in that jar with a sense of dread that even the shadows couldn't keep away. I picked up my atlas, calling my king, and placing it on loudspeaker as I set it down on the carpet beside me.
What is it?
I flinched at the knowledge that I'd upset him, especially knowing I had to deliver this bad news.
I'm in the middle of dealing with an issue with the nymphs at Stella's Manor.
Can I help? I hoped he might need me for something and summon me back to him where I belonged. Lionel sighed irritably before he replied.
Not unless you can come up with a way for them to gain the magic they require without the population noticing that they've been killing again.
Let's feed them children. Nobody likes children.
Go and make yourself busy somewhere, Clara. I have no use for your nonsense. Oh, between her and her useless mother, I am at my wit's end. I'll figure out the solution to this problem myself. Now tell me why you are calling before I lose my temper.
I'm sorry, my king. I promised I'd call you if anyone tried to attack me.
Who attacked you?
Darcy, the heirs, and Gabriel. I think they were trying to capture me, but I managed to use the shadows to escape them.
Gabriel Knox? Why would he involve himself with their foolish attempts?
An answer came to my lips, and I almost spoke the truth of who he was to me. But a moment before I could say the words, the knowledge slipped from my mind again, and I couldn't remember what I'd been going to say. I didn't care about Gabriel anyway. Only my king. I only loved my king. I don't know.
Well, the main thing is that you got away. But you will have to be punished for allowing them to get you into that position in the first place.
I know, I'm sorry. I eyed the jar of lightning again as fear washed into me.
Where are you?
In my room.
I'll send someone to come heal you in a few hours, once you've learned your lesson.
His voice was eager now, and I took some comfort in that, knowing that at least my suffering would please him. Thank you. I reached out to pick up the jar.
Give me a moment to get somewhere private. I need to be sure you do everything exactly the way you promised.
I nodded, even though he couldn't see me. I waited as the sound of his footsteps filled the speaker, and closed my eyes. As I listened to him breathing, drinking in the sound like it was giving me life.
All right. Go ahead.
A door snapped closed where he was, and I bit my lip as a shiver of fear danced down my spine. I reached for the jar. Picking it up and feeling the power of the runes used to contain the bolt of lightning inside it as I unlocked them the way he'd taught me. This was what I deserved for letting Darcy and the others get close to me like that, for letting them try and take me from my king. I needed this punishment. It was the only way to set things right. I gritted my teeth as I pushed my magic into the runes, unlocking them as I twisted the lid off of the jar in the same movement. The bolt of lightning slammed into my chest with a force so powerful that I was helpless to stop the scream of agony that tore from my lips as I was knocked flat on my back while the electricity shot back and forth inside my body. It lit me up from the inside out, burning and frying and shocking everything it touched before bouncing back around to hit all the same places again twice as hard. My back arched as I screamed so loud my throat tore, and pain unlike anything else I'd ever experienced held me in its grasp and wouldn't let go. It was never-ending, this blinding, all-consuming agony which sliced through every piece of me until it was destroyed and bleeding for my king. When it finally stopped, I collapsed in a heap of agony, shaking and crying, the scent of burning filling the air and a ringing in my ears that wouldn't let up.
Yes. Yes.
I could hear Lionel breathing heavily as he listened to my torture, and I latched onto the sound as a groan of pleasure escaped him. The single good thing that I could find in this eternal fire that I was burning in. Yes, yes, yes. I just lay there sobbing and whimpering, unable to move or do anything to relieve the pain in my flesh, which went on and on eternally. The shadows crept closer to me, promising oblivion if I let myself dive into them. But I knew I couldn't do that. Not yet. Not until he said I could.
5 more minutes to make sure you've really learned your lesson. And when I next see you, you'll be rewarded for your dedication.
I tried to force a reply past my burned lips, but only a pained moan escaped them as I lay there, almost certain I was dying.
Remember not to kill the one who comes to heal your wounds. I need them alive. Don't let the shadows take them. Good.
Then he cut the line, leaving me to lay there and suffer for my failings. The tears which slid from my eyes only made the burning worse, but in 5 minutes, I could escape into the shadows. 5 minutes, and I wouldn't feel it anymore. And soon, I would see my king again, knowing he was proud of me. That was all that really mattered anyway. So I'd hold on to it with everything I had and be sure to make him proud.
I raced up the pitch with the roar of the crowd in my ears and the water ball tucked firmly beneath my arm as I headed for the pit with my jaw locked in determination. It was the first game of the season and the sixth week of term. Lionel Acrux had taken the throne, and we were having fuck-all luck finding the star, despite the fact Darcy had broken her star vow with Orion, Tori was still well and truly lost in the shadows, Darius and Darcy were so fucking miserable that it actually caused me pain to see them like that, and to top it all off, I'd been out hunting this morning and had caught an eyeful of Washer's teeny weenie while he was shifting down by the lake. Fucking gross. But no matter how much everything else sucked, there was one single thing in this world which would always make me smile and bring me and my brothers together. And that was pitball. I mean, yeah, we might have lost our coach, and yeah, we had the world's most unenthusiastic cheerleader in Tori, and yeah, a win on the pitch wouldn't solve any of the real issues we were facing, but it sure as fuck would feel good. And that was what I wanted. One night to forget all of it and just pretend the world hadn't gone to shit. The ground began to buck and quake beneath me as the Aurora Academy team captain wielded her magic against me. And I hooked a grin her way as I countered her attack with my own hold over the element. Rosalie smiled like a savage beast as she ran to intercept me, her pretty face splattered with mud and black hair pulled back in a braid. I was almost at the pit when she collided with me, and I let her take me down as I threw the ball straight for the hole in the center of the pitch. Darcy took out the Aurora team keepers with a savage blast of fire magic to make sure I scored the point, and the crowd went wild as the ball sailed home. I hit the ground hard beneath the wolf girl, and she growled as she straddled me in the mud, her thighs gripping tight around my waist and giving my dick some happy ideas.
Save it for the after party, yeah, sweetheart?
I gave her a smirk as she lingered with her thighs parted over my hips for a moment.
Are you going to beg me for a sympathy fuck when we beat you?
Fuck. That Fatalian accent of hers only made the idea of that more appealing. She wasn't going to win, and we both knew it. The game was a round away from over, and Zodiac had the lead, even if Aurora was putting up a damn good fight.
We don't lose. But if you'd like to take a ride on the Zodiac Star Player...
Oh, is Seth offering?
She looked around for him and making me growl as her attention wandered.
I can make you come better than him.
Oh, is that right?
She tossed her braid back over her shoulder as she stood and offered me a hand up.
Well, there's really only one way to test that theory.
She gave me a flirtatious look before flicking her fingers and making the earth buck beneath me hard enough to put me on my ass again. Seth barked a laugh from his position by the air hole, and I shook my head with amusement as I got to my feet. Rosalie was jogging back over to the earth hole, and I followed her with my gaze straying to her ass more than once. Okay, my eyes were on her ass the whole way, but the girl had a damn nice ass, and in my defense, I hadn't gotten laid in, like, fuck, I wasn't even sure. Not since Tori, anyway. And that was a long fucking time ago. My gaze flicked over to the cheerleaders, where Tori was diligently taking part in her routine, even though she hardly seemed to be present mentally at all. She legitimately shot herself 20 meters into the air and sailed back to the ground in a cloud of pink blossoms and didn't even crack a smile.
Yeah! Yeah! Tori!
It was fucked up. I sighed as I watched her, my attention moving to Darius, who was looking her way too, as I'd been sure he would be. It had taken me a little while to get over her, but when I saw the way he looked at her and felt his grief over what was happening to her, it was easy to see that me and Tori had never been in the stars. It had been good while it lasted, and I didn't regret any of it, but it had just run its course, and I was okay with that now. I'd moved on. just not physically. But as Rosalie Oscura looked up at me and licked her lips, I found myself thinking that was about to change. The whistle blew while I was distracted by Rosalie's mouth. I failed to spot the lump of clay she sent flying at my stomach. And I was knocked on my ass by her for a second time. She leapt over me with a howl of triumph, snatching the heavy earth ball that had just shot from our hole and took off with it across the pitch.
Get your head out of your cockles, Caleb Altair!
Geraldine scolded as she threw her arms out, casting a ripple of earth magic through the ground, and managing to knock Rosalie off course so she was forced to turn away from the pit.
Damn it!
Buck the fuck up, Altair!
I got to my feet, ignoring Max as he yelled at me to buck the fuck up and flipping off Seth as I caught him laughing too. Yeah, I let the sexy wolf distract me, big fucking deal. I raced up the pitch, chasing after the wolf girl as she ran with wild laughter tumbling from her lips before throwing the ball to her team's fireside. Darius leapt into his path, an explosion of fire cutting him off and sending the poor guy racing towards Max, who flattened him like a steam train. Max tossed the ball to Seth, who howled as he ran for the pit, with Rosalie charging behind him with her teeth set in a snarl. The girl was damn tenacious, and she wasn't afraid of throwing a brutal blow either. Stones burst from the ground all around Seth, and she shot them at him as he shielded himself with air, making them all ping off in every direction, and keeping the rest of us back as the deadly missiles came our way. The rest of the Aurora team seemed to be in on her play, and they charged at us, keeping us back as Rosalie focused on Seth. He raced on, but she threw even more earth up ahead of him, splattering his shield with mud so that he couldn't see out of it and was forced to drop it. The moment he did, Rosalie slammed into him, tackling him and wrenching the ball from his grip. He grabbed her leg as she tried to run with it, tripping her. But the moment she hit the ground, she sank beneath it, disappearing altogether.
Fuck!
We all looked around to see where she'd emerge as the time ticked down on the golden board hanging overhead. An eruption of earth from the ground sent us all running to the left of the pitch. But a moment later, I realized that it hadn't been caused by Rosalie, and their earthbacker had created the distraction. She leapt out of the dirt to the right of the pit and tossed the ball home with 5 seconds to spare on the round, ending the game with a scream of cheers from the Aurora Academy students that rivaled the screams the Zodiac crowd made at our win. It had been one of the closest run matches we'd had in a while, though, and that was a lot to do with the beautiful team captain who was currently being swarmed by a crowd of werewolves who were racing out of the Aurora crowd to congratulate her. Seth slapped my ass before he jumped on my back and yelled at me to take him for a victory lap. I laughed as I shot him to motion, showing off my vampire speed now that the game was over, and doing 4 circuits of the pitch so fast that everything around us was a blur. Seth had to hold on to me with a death grip to stop himself from falling off, and I smirked as I sped us towards the rest of the team, who were all celebrating in a dog pile beside the pit. I caught Darcy's gaze as she grinned widely, and I smiled back at her, ruffling her muddy blue hair and just feeling glad that she was able to experience this little moment of happiness, even if I knew it wouldn't last. We all clambered to our feet, and I slung my arms around Darius's neck, slapping a kiss on his cheek as he gave me that tight smile, which I knew was bullshit.
After party?
Seth asked hopefully, looking between everyone, but Max just shrugged.
We aren't allowed to socialize with anyone outside of our order, remember? So if we do, it'll be a party of 6 at the Hollow as usual. I'm surprised we're even allowed to continue pitball. But if Lionel took that away, there'd be a fucking riot.
Damn that scoundrel and his preposterous laws.
As Geraldine bared her teeth.
I have a mind to spend the night dallying with a different order just to defy him.
Is that so?
Max asked with a hopeful smile. He was so fucking into her that it was untrue. No doubt he was going to spend the rest of the night trying his hardest to get into her panties again, and she'd make him run circles around her while she tossed fish-based insults his way. I'd be able to tell if he lucked out in the morning, either by the irritating-as-fuck grin on his face or the petulant tantrum he'd throw. My guess was it was about a 50-50 chance either way.
Well, if it's a wolves-only party, then I could bring my pack.
Rosalie drew my attention as she wove between the members of our team and came to stand before Seth with a flirtatious smile.
Are you looking for a pack orgy, babe?
He pushed a hand through his long hair, but his gaze shifted to me, and there seemed to be some reluctance in him that I didn't understand.
No, pack orgies don't really get me going. I'm an alpha kind of girl, so unless you have another one of those in your pack...
Not likely.
Seth slung an arm around my shoulders.
But Cal here's all alpha, so if you don't mind breaking the law...
He left that suggestion hanging in the air between us. And though I was fairly certain it was supposed to be a joke, the idea of it was actually pretty appealing. Rosalie smiled as she looked between the two of us, leaning closer, conspiratorially.
I don't know if you know it, but my family are kinda notorious criminals.
You're asking if we know that the Ascura clan are a bunch of thugs and murderers?
I kinda liked the fact that the squeaky clean heir the papers love to think I was really hung around with outlaws sometimes. They might have held their territory in Alestria, which was down in the south of the country, but they were notorious enough for me to know plenty about them, even if I hadn't been vaguely related to them too. My mom had told me once that leaving cities like that under gang rule actually made sense for the kingdom. The most powerful Fae held the positions of power and kept the others in check without the counselors, or I guess king now, having to travel around the entire kingdom to enforce their power. And a little criminal activity was preferable to having to actually face challenges from those kinds of Fae. At the end of the day, Fae, like Rosalie's cousin Dante, were content to own their corner of the kingdom and not overstep their territory. So long as they knew when to bend the knee to those who held the ultimate power, there was no point in trying to remove them.
Well, if you've heard of my clan, then you already know I'm bad news. So I guess the real question is whether or not you two want to put your money where your mouths are and break the law with me.
Players, please come forward.
Principal Nova started talking then. Her voice projected over the crowd. She called us all up to stand before her so she could announce the player of the match and present the medals to us for winning. Rosalie headed away from us again to rejoin her own team, and I walked across the pitch to take my position in the lineup. I ended up standing next to Seth, and he leaned in close to me, casting a silencing bubble so that our conversation was kept private.
Are you gonna kiss me again if we have a three-way with her, Cal?
He knocked his shoulder against mine, grinning wolfishly.
Please, you fucking wish I'd kiss you. You bring that shit up so often, I just know you've been fantasizing about it.
Yeah, well, I guess my tits aren't big enough for you, so there goes that plan.
I'm really more of an ass man.
Well, I've got a damn nice ass, so maybe my luck is in with you after all. What do you say then? Want to take my key and shoot up to my room to wait for us? Let's see if the pretty alpha wolf really can handle two heirs.
I shrugged, though my dick was already hardening at the mere thought of it. The last time I'd shared a girl, it had been really fucking hot. And I seriously needed to get laid soon or my cock was going to fall off from lack of use. Not to mention the fact that Rosalie Ascura was fucking gorgeous. And I got the impression that she'd be more than up to the task of scratching that itch in both me and Seth.
So you're gonna sneak me in there like your dirty little secret?
Yeah. Imagine the shame it would bring on my family if they knew I'd philandered with a dirty vampire.
Well, I can't argue against the dirty part.
By the stars, don't bullshit me right now, Cal, because the idea of this actually happening is getting me all kinds of hard, and if you're just winding me up, I don't think I can take it.
My gaze instantly tracked down to his crotch. Sure enough, I could see his cock bulging through his pants, and my pulse spiked as I let my gaze linger there. When I looked back up at him, I found his gaze had fallen to the swell in my pants, too.
Did we just check each other's dicks out?
Seth's earthy brown gaze snapped back up to meet mine, and he grinned like a predator.
This is fucking on, isn't it?
Mr. Capella,
At that moment, Nova stepped in front of me and placed a medal around my neck, and I was forced to disband the silencing bubble as I thanked her and tried to will my heart on away.
Thank you, Principal Nova.
But the fucker was here to stay, and as I looked down the row of players to seek out Rosalie's pretty face, my fangs snapped out too. Yeah, this was fucking on. The crowd all cheered as Rosalie was awarded player of the match, and everyone moved towards the crowd to accept their congratulations. I caught Seth's arm as he made a move to walk away. Where's your key then? His bicep flexed in my grip as he gave me a heated look.
Shit, this is gonna be even better than that time when I was on the moon and I stuck my dick in that crater. It's in the bottom of my bag. Make sure no one sees your vampire ass sneaking in, or the shame it will bring on me will make me die.
Please, as if I'd be seen dead sneaking in to fuck a pair of dirty wolves. I ran my tongue over my fangs before forcing myself to release him and shot away. Fuck, I was thirsty. The match had made my magic reserves dwindle down to almost nothing, and I needed the taste of blood on my tongue. But I was going to give my cock priority tonight. The poor thing had been left on the sidelines for fucking months, and it was time he got some front row action. I shot into the changing rooms before anyone else could manage it, grabbed Seth's bag, and found his key lurking between some socks at the bottom of it before tossing my own bag over my shoulder and zipping back out of the room again. I spotted my little brother hanging out at the edge of the stands, waiting to congratulate me, and forced myself to stop and talk to him, even though I seriously wanted to get the fuck out of here. But it would take Seth and Rosalie a lot longer to walk back to Air Tower than me anyway, so I guessed I had the time to not be a dick to my kid brother.
Hey Hadley, did you enjoy the game?
I tossed a grin at the group of girls who were grouped around him, and ignored the gasps and squeals of excitement that came from them as I gave him my full attention. He knew as well as I did that these fangirl types were mainly here because of our surname and their dream to suck on some powerful cock. No doubt he was making full use of them while keeping his emotions firmly out of the equation. But fangirl pussy lost its appeal pretty fast in my opinion, and I'd found myself wanting something more than that since I'd ended things with Tori, which was why I hadn't buried my dick in any of these types since it had happened. And no, I didn't imagine I was about to embark on some great romance with Rosalie Oscura, but at least she had something about her and wasn't just begging for my dick while hoping to claim herself a powerful husband.
Yeah, man, you did good out there. I saw that wolf chick put you on your ass, though.
Yeah, what can I say? You still won the match, so I'm not too butthurt over it. You still making sure you feed regularly? I knew I was sounding like Mom, but I'd also more than learned my lesson over letting the bloodlust get too much of a hold on me, and I didn't want him to end up hurting anyone the way I had. I still got nightmares about that shit from time to time.
Yeah.
He trailed off, glancing at the gaggle of girls surrounding us, and I frowned as I wound an arm around his shoulder and tugged him along with me. I made sure my grip on him was tight enough, then gave him a sharp tug as I forced him into motion at top speed. Hadley started running at my side, and we made it out of the stadium, into the dim light of the setting sun, and I released him, turning for the path.
I'll race you to Air Tower.
I didn't give him the chance to refuse as I shot off into the trees. Hadley's laughter followed me into the woods as he used his gifts to chase me down, and I grinned broadly as we ran together. We'd done this more than once since his order had been unleashed, and I had to admit, I was loving having someone who could move at my speed to run with. We shot through the wailing wood at top speed, and I charged up the cliffside towards Air Tower with him right on my heels. I beat him, of course, and he cursed me as I came to a halt beside the entrance.
Fuck you!
Leaning my back against the wall and tossing a concealment spell up over us as well as a silencing bubble to hide our presence within the shadows.
Who are we hiding from?
His eyes glittered with the fun of the game.
I'm here to hang out with a few wolves, so naturally I have to cover it up.
I rolled my eyes at the absurdity of that new rule, and he nodded in understanding.
Anyway, we didn't come here to discuss that.
I want to know why you don't seem thrilled about drinking blood when it's pretty much the best fucking thing in the world.
I don't know how to explain it, but it's like All these girls keep letting me bite them, and it seems like I should be loving that, but something about it just leaves me wanting, even when my power reserves are fully topped up.
I rolled my eyes at the absurdity of that new rule, and he nodded in understanding.
Yeah, blood whores aren't much fun, especially low-powered ones. What you need to do is refine your tastes. You gotta pick the most powerful target you can, and then overpower them for their blood. You don't want it offered up willingly, and you don't want it unless it's good and potent.
Got any suggestions for who I should be aiming to drink from then?
A Vega. But unfortunately for you, there's no chance of you overpowering one of them now. So I'd have to say one of the other heir's siblings. I mean, if you want to go top shelf, that is. Or someone with power as close to matching yours as possible if you can't overpower them. Or if they get too pissy about it and you want to maintain your friendship more than you want to taste their sweet blood.
Like Athena?
His eyes sparkled as he mentioned Seth's younger sister.
Yeah, Capella blood tastes seriously good, but if she's anything like your brother, you're gonna have a fight on your hands to get your teeth into her.
Of course, that's half the fun. He grinned way too widely at that, and I had to wonder if my little brother was crushing on Seth's sister. Probably best not to mention that to Seth, though, or he might go all protective alpha over his baby sister and ruin Hadley's chances.
That sounds like a good plan. Now, fuck off and leave me to break the law.
Hadley gave me a playful shove with his enhanced strength. Before he shot away from me. I didn't have to wait long for a member of Air House to open the door to the tower. And the moment it swung wide, I ran at full speed in a blur of motion and slipped through it before it could fall shut. I didn't stop as I raced up the stairs, speeding all the way to Seth's room so fast that no one laid eyes on me, before turning the key in the lock and letting myself in. I glanced around his huge room, smirking at the side of the bed big enough for 10 to sleep in, and moving over to the window where I opened the shutters to look out at the full moon hanging low in the sky. If there was one way to turn wolves on even more than usual, then it was by fucking them with the moon watching. And I was more than okay with letting the celestial being watch us, so long as Seth didn't take it as an excuse to start talking about his fucking trip there again. Seriously, I had half a mind to regret getting him that damn ticket, aside from the fact that it had put a big fucking smile on his face, of course. I couldn't really bring myself to regret that. That said, I was probably gonna have to sucker punch him if he brought the moon up one more time this week in my company. I moved away from the window, grinning like a cocky asshole who knew he was about to get laid, as I strode through Seth's room to his ensuite. I tugged off my pitbull uniform as I went and set the shower running so I could wash off the mud and sweat from the game while I waited for him and Rosalie to arrive. The huge metal showerhead poured down on me like a heated thunderstorm in the open, wet room, and I stole some of Seth's shower gel to wash with as I stood on the white tiles. I closed my eyes as I rubbed my hands over my body, inhaling the familiar scent of Seth's wash products as my cock grew hard again while I imagined the things we were going to do as soon as they got here. Which I hoped was going to be really fucking soon, because I was already done with waiting. Before long, and yet still too fucking long as far as I was concerned, the sound of the door opening out in Seth's room reached my ears.
You're not serious.
I swear on all the stars in the sky, the moon actually spoke to me while I was up there, like her soul connected with mine.
I groaned internally as I realized he'd just found himself a new poor soul to flood with stories of the fucking moon. Though, I had to admit that Rosalie didn't sound the least bit bored by the subject.
Ah, I'd give anything in the world to go to the moon.
Her sexy ass voice had my hand sliding around the thick length of my cock as I picked up the quickening pace of her heartbeat with my gifted hearing.
Well, I can't take you to the moon, but how about me and Cal make you see stars?
Rosalie laughed again, but the sound was cut off a moment later when the two of them appeared in the doorway. As Seth pushed her into the bathroom with his mouth against hers.